In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Brothers and sisters, I've told you many times, it is my firm belief that when we read the Scriptures, we must apply them to us personally. In order to be able to do this, first you must know the dogmatic meaning of the Scriptures. You must understand what they say, not make things up. The Scriptures say things that are important and that are true, that apply to all of us. The dogmas of the Church are contained in the Scriptures, are proclaimed in the Scriptures. We learn of Christ through the Scriptures. We learn of God the Father and the Holy Spirit through the Scriptures. We learn of the way we should live through the Scriptures. But also, the Scriptures speak to us personally. A different passage of the Scriptures, this passage of the Scriptures might say something different to each one of us about how we should live our life. Something that we are doing now that maybe we shouldn't be doing, something that we should start doing, some feeling that we have that these Scriptures cause us to have a greater sense of confidence that we can accomplish something. And so these Scriptures, this particular story, has always been greatly significant to me personally. Let's talk about the dogma contained in the Scriptures first. And then let's talk about perhaps an application that might mean more or less to different people. But I think all of us should understand the Scriptures to mean this practical application I want to tell you. So, the fishermen have fished all night long and they haven't caught anything. And Jesus asked Simon Peter to set out from the land with his ship so that he could talk to everybody. Everybody would be in front of him. Nobody would be crowding him. Everyone would hear him better. And it would be more orderly. So then, after that teaching is done, he tells Simon Peter to set out and set down the nets for a draught. Well, he hadn't caught anything all night long. In that day, they fished at night and didn't catch anything. And yet he said, "Nevertheless, I will let down the nets." Simon Peter represents the law in this case. The law has toiled all the night long. In other words, from the time of the law to the time of Christ. The law told us about sin, but it caught nothing. Why did it catch nothing? Because the law cannot save. But with Christ comes the day. And then in the daytime, the Lord says, "Let down your nets." Now the nets wielded by the fishermen are the Word of God preached by simple fishermen. A simple message. The Gospel is not complicated. Anyone can understand the Gospel if they listen. So the nets are let down and a great multitude of fish are caught. Now the boats are the synagogue of the Jews. Notice what happened. The boats began to sink. They couldn't contain all the fish that were contained in it. And so they bring the fish to the land, having assistance from their confederates, right? They have people help them. Those partners are those of the church, the teachers of the church, the bishops, the priests, the deacons, and even us. This is a similar meaning and teaching to when the Lord, the Samaritan, brought the man to the inn. He took care of him for a night, and then what did he tell the innkeeper? "You take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you." The innkeeper and the inn represent the church. And so the partners coming to help the apostles represent the church and represent the subsequent teachers of the church. But don't leave yourself out of this, because you have a role to play also in the spreading of the gospel by the way you live and also by what you say. So that is the meaning of this occurrence. There's things that are about the law, about the coming of Christ, showing the apostles, also giving rise to their apostles and their disciples, and so on through the ages. That's the meaning of this parable. Oh, but there's a significant practical meaning to this, I said parable. You can think of it in the way of a parable too, but of course it's a real life occurrence. It really happened. And the application is, Simon Peter, when he saw that the nets were breaking because they couldn't contain all the fish, he realized there was an incredible miracle occurring, and it only could be from God. And he said, "Depart from me, because I'm a sinful man." Now go forward 3 years. And all the fish were caught after the Lord's resurrection. The net did not break. And Simon Peter, instead of being afraid, put his fisher's cloak about him and threw himself into the sea to be closer to the Lord. 3 years had passed. Amazing things had happened. The apostles had gone through incredible changes. They had matured. They had grown wise. They had grown strong by the Lord helping them. And if you read carefully the Gospels, you'll see that it was not an easy transition. You'll see that quite often the apostles did very foolish things, were full of pride, arguing with one another. They were afraid. They said things that turned out not to be true, made promises they couldn't keep. And yet, they were transformed in 3 years by living with the Lord, by observing the way He lived, His teachings, by beholding His face. So it is with us. And so it applies to everything. We should be like Simon Peter. We should say, "I've toiled all the night long, and nevertheless, I will let down at your word, I will let down the net." I think this should be the watchword and byword of every pastor. Because we toil, and many, many times we have very few fish. And yet, nevertheless, we should continue to let the net down. Nevertheless, we should continue to serve services, continue to confess, to continue to go help people. Because it is the right thing to do. And there will be changes made. Things will happen. Just not in our time. This applies to anything you can think of in your life. I say my prayers and yet I don't seem to change much. Nevertheless, I will still pray. I'm kind to this person and they continue to be unkind to me. Nevertheless, I will still be kind. I try to live honestly, and what does it get me at work or with other people where I get taken advantage of? Nevertheless, I will continue to be honest. This is the way we should live our life. St. Peter is outlining the way we should live. The Lord tells us what is right. And even though we might not see why, or we might not see results, or it might be hard, nevertheless, we will do what is right. And then there will be results. But the results are in God's time, not in our time. And God will help us if we continue to toil. And look at the changes that come over us. St. Peter, in the presence of God, was afraid the first time he caught so many fish at his command. But afterwards, after 3 years of seasoning, training, difficulties, trials, labors, fear, coldness, hunger, exhaustion, and all the rest. After 3 years, what could he say? He begged, he tried to get to the Lord as quickly as possible. So the change will come over us. I think the first feeling a Christian should have is that of St. Peter, where he says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." Feeling our infirmity, how impure we are. And yet what the Lord said to the St. Peter, he didn't agree. He didn't depart from him. He says, "You will be catching men someday." The Lord will not depart from us when we are afraid, if we will continue to labor. And then change will come over us, just as it came over St. Peter and all the other apostles. But only if you continue to struggle, brothers and sisters. This, many times I've told you, the gospel, stories of the gospel are sort of life in microcosm. They compress time into a few moments, and yet they describe an entire lifetime. That's what this parable, or I keep calling it a parable, because I think of it sometimes when I, the application is as if it were a parable. This story is like that. Toiling all the night long, we toil also. Those 3 years that took place are our lifetime between the two catches of fish. So it takes time to be changed. But we will be changed. Personally, I find that stories like this are more powerful than the promises that are made, especially St. Paul says and others, that are just absolutely crystal clear promises about what it will be in the next life. For some people, those things are very comforting. For some reason, for me, the stories of the gospel, whether they be historical occurrences or parables, are much more powerful because they seem to describe the kind of life I'm living now. One of difficulty, one of toiling all the night and not catching any fish, and yet having the promise that there will be fish caught. Struggling against passions and sins and difficulties, and yet the Lord promises that there will be an end to this and that we will be victorious. Take these words to heart, brothers and sisters. They apply to you and me, all of us. Understand the meaning of the story, but then apply it to the way you live. Do you, when the Lord says to live this way, do you say, well, Lord, living this way has been difficult for me. Living for this way does not seem to have brought me much benefit. Living this way has made me sometimes lonely and afraid and tired. Nevertheless, I will live in this way, because you have commanded it, and it must be right. Do you say that? There are 100 times a day when the Lord tells you to let down the net for a draught. 100 times. Each one of those 100 times, do you answer Him in this way? It's not a sin to say, it's been difficult, it's been hard. That's not a sin. It's not a sin to have the human feelings of discouragement. But when you let this discouragement cause you to not do what's right, then it is sin. So each one of those 100 times, may the Lord give you the strength to say, even though things are hard, nevertheless, I will follow your will. Amen.